Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, and I'm in the studio with Mott, Steve, and Sarah. Hi guys.
Hey Lisa.
Hey Lisa.
Hey, well, we're going to talk about something we have coming up next week. We're actually going to do our first ever live webcast from here at Focus. So if you've ever wanted to just, I guess, look at us while you're listening to us, this will be your opportunity. But more than that, you're going to have the opportunity to hear about a few things that we have going on at Focus, specifically things that we think a young adult audience would be interested in, and really things that drive into why Focus is who we are, specifically for younger adults who maybe look at Focus and think marriage and parenting and think, well, that isn't my deal. Well, you know what? It is, and it goes beyond boundless. So that should be kind of cool. So we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But also, I want to let you know that on today's show, we're going to be talking about divorce in the Q&A segment. Candace is going to call in for that and help two different listeners out with their questions related to dating someone who's divorced. And then for our culture segment, I'm going to talk with David Lapp. He is a research associate at the Institute for American Values. They are devoted to strengthening families and civil society in the U.S. and the world. So he's written a bunch of articles, some of that you've probably seen in the Wall Street Journal. I think we've referenced a couple of them. And then he also has an article featured this week at Boundless. So make sure you check that out, because he and I are going to be touching on that a little bit. So let's go ahead. I also want to say, before I continue, that today's show is sponsored by the FIFA 2010 World Cup store. You've probably seen the banner ad on our site. If you click on that site, you will get a discount for whatever you purchase. You'll get 20% off, but you have to enter the code FIFA FF20, FIFA FF20. If you have any questions, just email editor at boundless.org, and Ted or someone else will hook you up with the info on that. But you can order stuff off of that. Thanks to them for sponsoring this show. All right, the webcast, guys. Who came up with this idea? Because we decided it was finally time.
Well, it grew out of some work Focus has been doing to rethink how we're doing young adults outreach, and recognizing, too, the reality that we've got to continue to find the ways to pay the bills, to do the ministry that we do. And one of the things we looked at is that this audience, for one thing, it's their parents who grew up on Focus, a lot of them, who engaged with Focus in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and they brought their kids in touch with Club and Club Junior and Odyssey and Brio and Breakaway and a lot of other things. And then a lot of them were introduced to Boundless down the road, and now those parents, a lot of them are empty nesters. And so we're going to be going to them and saying, hey, this group of kids that you've brought along, they're facing a totally different world when it comes to landing in good marriages and starting families than the world you dealt with. And can you help us spread the word and support Boundless getting out there? But then at the same time, recognize a lot of the people that we've been connecting with Boundless for 12 years now are now in a position where they would love to support Boundless and Focus on the Family. And in fact, we've really been blessed by a lot of the gifts that they've given us, some of the checks that have come in. And we would like to create a fun atmosphere to really consolidate this opportunity to give to Focus, to know what's involved with giving and all the great ministry that you're supporting, you know, when those checks do come in.
Yeah, I think that's cool. And I think it's kind of, you know, we have people write to us and whatever and say, you know, I would like to give to Boundless, but is that possible? Or what does that look like? Or maybe Focus has fallen off the radar or something. So this is going to be an opportunity for us to, you know, I mean, we're going to try to not be like a telethon. I always say it's Jerry Lewis, right?
Yeah.
I always mix him up with Jerry Lee Lewis, who didn't do telephones, I don't think. But but I mean, I think we're going to go to our demographic, to our listeners, and say, you know, how do you want to participate in this? How do you want to help? And here's a great reason why you should be. And I think I've referenced, I think it was a couple weeks ago, where I said, you know, this is a great opportunity for our demographic to step up and kind of be counted in this, because, you know, I always reference that article or the podcast that we did, you know, singles at the kids table and stuff. We're not, you know, I mean, maybe some of you are still listening to Odyssey and that's great, but hello, you know, we're all generally self-sustaining adults at this point. And I'm sure you give to many ministries, but hopefully Focus will be one of them, especially at this time. Hey, Sarah, tell us a little bit about Sarah, you know, kind of is now on board with us here, helping out as an intern. And I'm sure you probably have a new understanding of focus since having been here in the flesh rather than just hearing about it or, you know, living vicariously through whatever you knew focus to be or through TED in the past. So what's your experience been now that you kind of know a little bit more of what we do here?
Well, I've actually grown up being very familiar with Focus on the Family. My parents subscribed me to Clubhouse Junior, and then I received the Brio magazine. So I also listened to Dr. Dobson's radio program. So I'm very familiar with Focus on the Family, but coming here, it just reemphasizes what an important difference focus has made to help protect the family, to help protect morals and values in our society today, which is so crucial. And if you visit the Welcome Center, the Visitor Center here, they have displays where you can see some of the difference that focus has made in our country. And as young adults, we really do need to look outside the sphere of our own little worlds and think of what's going to happen to our country, what's happening to the family. We are the future leaders of our country. We're the future parents and fathers and mothers. And so we need to step up. We need to help support ministries like Focus on the Family, because if we really care about biblical values, we need to get on board with helping ministries like Focus on the Family protect the family.
Yeah, we get a really neat opportunity here at Focus as employees to, we have a kind of an employee intranet that we have here, and every morning there's a new story of a way that Focus or a ministry within Focus has impacted someone specifically. And I think we blogged about this and talked about it too, but like with our Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad, we had a woman write in, and she was a young adult and said, you know what, I kept my baby because of that ad, and I was really on the fence and deciding what I should do, and the baby's father didn't want me to keep it, and she decided to do that. So that's something that's really cool. We hear about people all the time who have pulled off of the road while listening to the Focus broadcast in tears because they can't even drive because something has impacted them. I know a woman personally who was suicidal, was planning to kill herself, and heard a Focus broadcast on addictions and called into our counseling line, and they hooked her up with a counselor, and she's now got an amazing prayer ministry that's gone international. So there are a lot of real things that are happening here. It's not just about random articles being written or people just sitting around, you know, chit-chatting on the air.
Well, and even with Boundless, we realize how often we haven't spread the wealth in terms of the great stories that we're seeing. I mean, occasionally we'll spotlight some of those on the podcast or on the blog, but we're getting, every other day, just these incredible stories of people talking about these breakthrough engagement experiences and the things that Boundless and Focus on the Family were the only ones who were talking about certain issues that they just weren't hearing about in the church or at their Christian college or from Christian friends, and just, you know, were so life-changing for them. But especially those who, it's just always amazing, the ones who write us and say, I just wanted you to be the first to know that we just got engaged, and just want to let you know how much Boundless was instrumental in getting me to this place, especially guys who, have gone from being passive sideline type guys who recognized they were toying with women's hearts and decided, you know, this is going to end, and I'm going to be intentional, and I'm going to honor God and how I relate to women and how I approach marriage, and just to see how dramatically a life can change in a short period of time when they start embracing these principles.
Yeah, Boundless is a very valuable resource for young adults, and I read a lot of the articles on here, and I've benefited from it a lot, and it's a gem. It's a ministry unlike any ministry I've seen out there, and I think this webcast is a definite opportunity for us young adults to show we care, and we're going to support Boundless. We're going to support Focus on the Family, whether you can send in $10 or $5 or $100 or $1,000. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to show that you care.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Sarah. And just to give the details, you will be able to donate through a text. You can send a text donation, or you can go to the website. There will be a donate graphic at the top left of the Boundless homepage. And it's going to be next Thursday, May 27th at noon.
So
noon Mountain Time. That's right.
Yeah. So that'll be 2 p.m. Eastern.
And then it'll be available for people who can't catch it live. It'll be available recorded that they can come back and listen to later. It'll be our podcast next week.
That's right. It's going to be our podcast. And it really is, it's titled Next Generation Focus Webcast. And it is introducing Focus to Boundless, because there are a lot of people who come to Focus through Boundless. And Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, is out there on the road touring, talking about orthopraxis. And it really is theology of doing. And not that we don't preach as well or teach as well, but and there are a lot of programs that we have at Focus right now that we're going to be talking about, bringing people in who work in those departments. We're going to have someone come in and talk about the Wait No More, and I'll just briefly mention that here, and that is where a Focus goes to states like and started here in Colorado, and tries to find homes for children available for adoption and children in the foster care system, and it's been a great success. I think that the children available for adoption in Colorado went from 700 to 300 now. Is that right, Lisa?
It was like in the 800s down to the 300s now.
Yeah. So that's just an example of the work that Focus is doing now.
Well, I think everybody should tune in live if possible, because it's just fun to watch a live webcast. This is the first live webcast that Boundless has ever done. All you Lisa lovers out there, you'll get to see Lisa on camera. This
Whoa.
Is an opportunity that you don't want to miss.
Brace yourselves.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa might be playing the flute. Is that right, Lisa?
I am not playing the flute. What in the world?
We're trying to get Lisa
really
to play the flute.
This whole thing
Keith Getty was
a,
trying to get me to play the flute.
Is a Lisa flute delivery system.
Exactly, yeah. Nice.
We had to create a webcast so you would play the flute.
Yeah. We'll have to do, have I given you my my contract with all the writers in it? You know, about the M&Ms and I want certain colors removed and all of that.
Yeah.
And how many bottles of
water. I'll take care of that, Lisa.
Sarah will be there with me.
Just that'll email me.
Yeah. Well, I think it was, you know, just wrapping up here, how we did last Friday, we did the Friday fan experiment, and we told people, you know, tell your friends about Boundless. And I put on my page, I said, I think it's just nuts, the people that don't know about Boundless. I mean, it is totally nuts that every young adult who's a Christian does not know about this ministry. And so I think this will be a great opportunity for you to tell your friends as well, to maybe tune in and catch a glimpse of it. But really, for those of you who are the hardcore fans, and you know who you are because you're listening, this, I think, is going to give us an opportunity to really get our listenership and our readership on the books, so to speak, here at Focus, as being really a solid sector of people that are passionate about what Focus on the Family is doing. And we're saying, you know, hey, we care about not only Boundless, but we care about the ministry of Focus on the Family and really what that means for the gospel in here in the U.S. and around the world. And so I think it gives us an opportunity to stand up and be counted in that sense. And I think that's important for us to do. So we're not just consumers. We're not just, you know, leeches that are sitting around, you know, hoping. I mean, another thing we do is we provide. Sorry, I called you leeches and I put myself in there. That's okay. But, you know, another thing we do, and this is just a side note, is we provide a platform for a number of other people who have ministries, who've written books, who have bands, you know, people that we're trying to say, hey, they're doing some good work. We want you to know about them as well. So really, it's kind of exponential in the way that, you know, has a ripple effect to what actually happens. So, all right. So give the info again, Mott, next Thursday.
Next Thursday, May 27th, noon Mountain Time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be roughly an hour, so tune in. We know you're going to be, a lot of you listen to Boundless podcast that time anyway, so that's why we chose that time.
And you can even have a webcast watching party and invite your friends and watch it all together.
I think you just blaze it on in your office and just sit there and like have your coworkers sitting with you.
That's great.
That'd be awesome too.
There
so.
You go. And we'll sign off on any approval, you know, that your supervisor requires for that.
Exactly. Because we will be talking about, you know, foster care and stuff.
That's
like
right.
That. These
Good
are
stuff.
Global issues, people. Ted is going to be live blogging it, so you will be able to comment as we go along. Please,
we'll try to incorporate those comments, especially, you know, Lisa will be giving shout outs for those large gifts that you send in. So.
Totally. Uh-huh. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Large gifts will definitely get shout outs from me. So anyway, we'll figure out a way to do that in a way that's fun. So that'll be cool. I think it'll be awesome. Well, we'll look forward to that. I may need to buy a new outfit, people. I don't know about this. I'm getting all worked up about it. So we'll see.
We'll just video, you know, from your forehead up.
Okay. That'd be good. Anyway. Well, we'll see you next week, everyone. everyone. For this week's culture segment, I am interviewing David Lapp. David is a research associate at the Institute for American Values. And I kind of talked about that a little bit in the intro as far as what that is and what they do. He's also written several articles that have appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the Philly Inquirer, and some other places, and is a recent college graduate. So you're just a youngster.
I am a youngster, yes, 23 years old.
Wow. Okay. Well, welcome to the Boundless Show, David.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you. So, well, I should also mention that, David, actually, we are publishing one of his articles on Boundless this week, so you can reference it even as we speak here. It is called Self-Realization or Self-Gift, and it talks a lot about this idea of does going into marriage, and specifically going into marriage young, and really, I guess you could apply this to a number of different things, but we're going to talk about marriage. Does that mean giving up freedom? Does that mean giving up a sense of self? Does it mean giving up discovering yourself? And that whole, what seems to be largely American concept, or at least first world concept of, I need to do this and I need to be this before I can make XYZ transitions in my life. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what's true in that and what's not true in that. And I read the article, David, and thought that was pretty fascinating, the way that you broke it down, you know, with some specific examples, as well as referencing what some scholars and philosophers have said in the past. So what really got you thinking about this subject?
Well, what got me thinking about it was I was a junior in college, as I mentioned in the article, and I was realizing that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with my girlfriend. We had started subtly and not so subtly talking about marriage and thinking about whether or not that would be in our future. But I also just felt this social pressure that I should get established in my career first and establish a lot of money in my savings account and really get set in my own career path and get established more in my own identity before I get married. At least that is what that's the messages that I was hearing from the surrounding culture. But at the same time, I also knew that I felt ready to get married. I knew that my girlfriend was a woman of integrity and I could trust her, and we shared similar goals for the future. And I said to myself, well, why would I want to sacrifice even 3 or 4 more years of quote-unquote freedom? Why would I want to sacrifice a couple of years that I could spend with this woman that I love for quote-unquote freedom? And I was reminded of John Paul II in a book called Love and Responsibility, talks about how love is essentially a giving of the self, and how marriage is the archetype of that kind of self-giving. It's the ultimate, one of the ultimate examples in this world that we have of this self-giving. And if love really is important, and if the point of love is to give ourselves to other people, then why would I want to delay that simply to get established more in my own career path and so forth? I realize there's practical concerns here. Each situation is different, but in my own situation, I felt as if it was that I wouldn't be losing anything, that I could only gain something from making that commitment
right
after college.
And you were saying basically this in response to that notion that many will put out there that, you know, well, I can't fully love a person until I understand myself, until
sure.
I quote-unquote have myself together, until
right.
I am
and
a
I would,
whole
and
person.
I would suggest that one of the ways that we get to know ourselves, one of the ways that we discover ourselves, is by loving another person. And it seems to me that while there is wisdom, indeed, and there's a basic level of maturity that one should have before entering marriage, and basic level of responsibility, and all that is true. But at the same time, it does seem to me as if in the last 30, 40 years, we have become overly obsessed with knowing ourselves, and that it may actually be hindering us from entering into good relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this. You said here in your article, you said it's an error. You were talking about this idea that, you know, we can only be responsible, charitable, blah, 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 having come past a certain amount of benchmarks or whatever. You said it's an error because it forgets Aristotle's observation that we become morally virtuous precisely by doing virtuous actions. One who's been accustomed to focusing on his needs his whole life does not suddenly become aware of others' needs when he gets married. And then you said something that totally blazed me away, because I'm in my late 30s and still single. And I've often said on the show that, you know, I don't even know what happened in my 20s. I was just caught in a vortex of who knows what, didn't get married. And now I'm in my 30s and sitting around wondering, you know, what happened, because I still want to get married. So then you say, because we are creatures of habit, our actions today affect our actions 10 years from today. And I think that that is a good wake-up call for singles out there, whether they are 20 now or whether they're 30 or 35, 40, whatever, to say you will just be getting into patterns that are probably more and more self-driven. You know, and I'm not negating, you know, work with your church or missions or whatever, but just that day-to-day life kind of stuff where I can do life as I want to do it. And really that training of virtue that comes through marriage, I think is a little bit lost on me and possibly others.
Sure. And for myself, I know from the mere fact that the median age of marriage has risen now to 28 for men and 26 for women, that mere fact is not so much what concerns me, but it's the underlying philosophy that many people are giving for why they're delaying marriage that concerns me. And it touches on what you were just talking about here. These I hear young people say things like, well, I have my freedom in my 20s where I can do the things that I want to do. Why not take advantage of that now? And while that may indeed be a good reason for some people, for instance, maybe if you want to do some mission work for a couple of years, and perhaps that would not be feasible with marriage for a couple of years. Certainly something like that is understandable. But for many other people, I suspect as well that we sometimes use it as an excuse to perpetuate adolescence and to defer responsibility. And if that is the case, then we are building habits that are making us less prepared to love another person. Because again, what is love but a giving of the self to another person? And so this whole notion that if I just become more individually autonomous, then I'll be prepared to love another person. Well, no. I become prepared to love another person the more that I give myself to my friends, and if I am invested in other people's lives and learning to commit myself in those ways, then of course I will be better prepared to make that ultimate commitment to another person in marriage.
Right, yeah. And most people, I would say, certainly among our listenership who want to get married, you know, maybe don't identify that as much in their own lives in saying, you know, yeah, I just want to go out and live for myself and do XYZ, though there is some of that element. But I really liked what you said about the, you know, again, it, you know, maybe a little bit more altruistic motive that some may have is to say, well, I don't want to get married yet because I don't want to bring all this debt into a marriage, or I'm kind of still trying to settle into a career, or I'm kind of trying to figure out where I'm going to live. And so I want to get all that squared away and then I'll find this marriage partner. When really, there are going to be things throughout your whole life that you're going to have to make decisions on. And quite frankly, you'll probably just rack up more debt unless you settle it now. And so what do you think about that?
About debt in particular, in the case of my wife and I, it's true that because we're married, we're actually now able to pay off our college debt faster than we would have if we were not married. And at the end of the day, I knew that, I mean, let's do acknowledge that it is, us young adults today are navigating we have a whole host of options that we have when we graduate from college, or even if we don't go to college. There are just, we could go anywhere in the globe. I mean, if really you wanted to, I guess, you know, you could become an English teacher in Japan. You could go to Washington, D.C. to work there. We have so many options. It's almost daunting. And many of those options are good. And many of the things that we can do are good. And we can be grateful for that. But at the same time, it does also create a lot of confusion if one is invested in a dating relationship and and saying, well, okay, where does this person fit into all of this? And for my wife and I, when we were dating, we said to ourselves, well, you know, the most important thing here is we know that we want to eventually spend the rest of our lives together, so why would we want to delay doing that sooner rather than later? And at the end of the day, we said, yes, maybe I forfeit an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., or some other city where an attractive job, where I may have an attractive job offer. Or yes, maybe if I decide that, hey, I want to go to Africa and work there for a year, maybe I can't just do that because I am now a husband and committed. But at the same time, there's also there is the opportunity to share oneself completely with his or her beloved, and also the opportunity to begin starting a family, which is one of the greatest vocations that a person could have.
Yeah, exactly. So as you're out and about, I mean, obviously you're, you know, living in a populous city, and what are you, when you interact with others in their young 20s, how do they react to this kind of message?
Well, what I have found is that young people do want to get married. I mean, people, my peers, they want to get married, and they are bewildered, oftentimes, I find, by the whole set of options that are out there. And there does seem to be questions about what we should prioritize and not prioritize. And really, at the end of the day, it does come down to an individual question, what is best for an individual cases. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer here. And I guess I would just want to say that for those people who are invested in dating relationships and know that they are dating the person that they eventually want to spend the rest of their lives with, take the question of marriage seriously. Because, as I said, marriage is a great vocation. And generally, I find that one of the things that it can also be the case that young people, they really do want to get married, but sometimes also it's the fear of divorce that keeps one from making that commitment sooner rather than later. And that's understandable because, I mean, I am fortunate to have had parents who stayed together and where divorce was not even an option. And I'm not sure that I would have been ready to make the commitment of marriage at the age of 22 if I had not come from a family like that. And so I sympathize with other young people who are not so fortunate to come from those situations, and I can understand how those fears play into it. The only thing I would say to that person is just, while it's understandable because of that fear that we would want to retreat more and more into self and get more individual autonomy before making commitment to marriage, realize that that is more detrimental than not to ultimately making the commitment of marriage.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think that what you said here and in the article itself is really good about that idea of, you know, really, or maybe this is me extrapolating, look forward really 10 years. And if you can't think of something pretty significant that you're going to accomplish in that time that can literally be done better apart from marriage. I mean, I think a lot of people just put these very ambiguous kind of goals together or whatever. And it's really like when you go back and assess, you say, wow, you know, this was not a reason to delay marriage. And I know you mentioned, you know, saying in the article, you said something to the effect of, you know, you could think about maybe just having summers and you'd be able to watch baseball games,
right,
and stuff and hang,
right,
out and whatever, and not have a wife to go home to or children to take care of. And that maybe sounds attractive, but you're also reminded that when you go, you know, hang out and watch games and whatever, you probably sit with some middle-aged men who are pretty lonely and they're living that. And so I think it's a good, you know, it's a good impetus for those of us, especially those of us who are no longer 23, to say, you know what, those who are, quite frankly, to say, take advantage of the time that you have now, take advantage of where you are, figure out where you want to be and realize that, you know, trajectory is needed and intentionality,
yeah,
and that is needed.
Yes. And of course, what I am not suggesting is that if one is in his early 20s or late 20s or whatever, that he should go out and seek to find a marriage partner as soon as possible. Of course, that's not what I'm suggesting. But what I am suggesting is that, it's a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking about that a commitment is a commitment to love another person is not something to be afraid of, but it is a great vocation to relish. And as John Paul II said, freedom exists for the sake of love. So yes, while it's great that we have freedom, and it's great that when we're 20s, we could do things that we might not otherwise be able to do when we're married, that freedom exists for the sake of love. And one of the greatest things that we could do is to love another person and to make the commitment of freedom to love another person. So yes, and the other thing we have to think about as well is that and take seriously is, I think, the vocation of celibacy, and realize that not all people are called to the vocation of marriage, that living a celibate single life and devoting oneself completely to God in other ways, that is a very good and honorable decision. And for some people, that may be something that not all people may want to get married. But regardless of our vocation, regardless of what we eventually hope to do, whether we're in our 20s or in our 30s, I would hope that we see our freedom not as something to just spend on ourselves, but as our freedom that we can commit in love to other people.
Yeah. Well, folks, we've been talking to David Lapp. Again, he wrote an article for Boundless this week that you're going to want to check out. It's called Self-Realization or Self-Gift. He's also been published in the Wall Street Journal and other magazines and newspapers as well, a research associate at the Institute for American Values. So I'm sure he will keep writing, of course, you know, in between being married and having a job, which is great. So he'll keep writing and we'll stay in touch with him. So, David, thanks so much for joining us today for this.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we will see you around. And folks, give us feedback on the article itself. Write to us at editor@boundless.org. We'd love to get your thoughts on this, especially those of you who maybe an article like this changes your mind on really how and when you're going to pursue marriage and what that looks like, especially in light of other life decisions and transitions that you're going through. I think it's all important stuff. So great to have you, David, and we'll talk to you in the future.
Thank you very much.
Everyone, we're opening this week's inbox, and I have Candace on the phone. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Well, we're going to do a twofer this week.
Okay.
And we're going to help two people.
This bonus deal.
This is good. Not that we're telling people to stop sending us questions. It's just that when we have two that we can address at the same time, we're going to do it. So we still want you to send in your questions. We're going to talk to both Karen and Jessica today because both of them are dating guys who are divorced and they're having questions about this. Both of them are in situations where the guys were divorced because of their wives' adultery. Both of them had affairs. But there are all kinds of caveats. One of them just flat out says dating a divorced guy bothers me. The other one is having to deal with a wife in the vicinity, an ex-wife in the vicinity, and they have joint custody of their kids. And she's kind of like, I'm praying about proceeding with this relationship and I just don't know where to go. So knowing both of them are just like, we need to know if we have to just cut ties and move on or if really this is a story that we could be a part of.
Right, right. Well, and I think this is such an appropriate series of questions to deal with because given the high divorce rate in America, there are probably a lot of listeners who have had the situation or will have it in the future. So thanks to Jessica and Karen for writing in. I'm encouraged that in both of your situations, the divorces do indeed sound like they were for biblical grounds. And that, for me, is always the starting point in a situation like this. So if you're contemplating dating a man or a woman who has been married before, it's really important to ask some hard questions up front to find out why the divorce took place. And I think you can trust but verify. Talk to the person's pastor or mentor and get a little information to make sure that you're not dealing with a situation where the person who's divorced isn't still really in a wounded place or a dysfunctional place or some sort of just major red flag. You want to find that out right away.
Mm-hmm.
No need to fall in love with a man or woman who really isn't free to remarry.
Right.
So that's the starting point. Then once you've figured out that, okay, it's biblical, well, then you still have to ask, am I okay with that? Because just because they didn't sin in getting divorced doesn't mean you have to date them.
Right.
So especially the second gal, Karen, I think it was, who said she's just not sure she's comfortable with it, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's something for you to talk about with your pastor and also to talk to the Lord about, pray about it and just say, you know, if this is from you, if it's okay to move forward, give me peace. If not, then show me in Scripture, show me through the input of other believers that maybe this isn't a good idea for me. Then that, I think, brings us to the third point, which is when there are children involved, and especially in the same town and an ex-wife with joint custody, you really are looking at some challenges and some logistical and emotional and relational hurdles that you'll have to clear. And I think the best thing to do about that is to go into it with your eyes wide open. At Focus on the Family, we often refer people who are looking at a blended family situation to Ron Deal's ministry, SuccessfulStepFamilies.com. And I was just on the site before you called, Lisa, and he's got a bunch of resources there to help. And I think this is a really good idea. In fact, Steve and I did this for a relative who recently got married and there was a step situation. We sent them some books and said, you know, you might want to read through these and talk through some of these issues, because blending a family takes a lot longer than forming a family from scratch. In fact, I think it's 7 years to get from the wedding to actually being in a situation where things have blended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's like oil and water for a long time. And so if you're going to proceed in that relationship, it's so important to have the grace for what you're going to be dealing with, but also sort of the reality check of, okay, this is just, I need to know the reality of what I'm getting myself into.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We have, I would encourage people to go back. We did talk to Ron Deal on the show back in the day. I can't remember when. So just search for the podcast that features him as our culture segment. I felt like what he had to say was really valuable, especially for step families and those who are considering moving into that kind of situation. So
yeah.
I also really liked what you said on the front end, Candace, about, again, it comes down to who are the men in these men's acquaintances,
right,
you know, and
right.
Pastors and mentors and other folks who can really kind of have your back and say, you know what, he's the real deal and this is what happened and I was there and I walked through this with him and I know that he has healed in XYZ measures and stuff. I think that's important because a lot of times, and again, I hate to get back to the online thing, but many times people can get into things where just over email, you know, things sound good and stuff, but then you find out, you know what, there's a lot of stuff that still needs to be worked through.
Well, and you know, the thing about divorce is there are always two sides. Even in a situation where one of the spouses had an affair, there was still something going on that created an environment where an affair was an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to ask some of those hard questions, because getting divorced doesn't mean you're leaving behind the problems. You're still you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to grapple with, who is this person I'm dating and what did they contribute? You know, are they willing to own that they did contribute something? If it's the kind of person that says, well, I did nothing wrong, it was all her, you know, I think that's a bit of a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say just real quickly, Lisa, that I've heard from so many women who are dating divorced men and men who are dating divorced women where the divorce was not biblical. And I have to say, don't go there.
Right.
To me, that's a non-negotiable. Unless it took place before the person was a believer,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a deal breaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing, too, you know, that we can reference another interview with Dr. Dominic Aquila. I was just talking with Sarah outside in the studio about this, where he walked through a lot of those scenarios of divorce and remarriage specifically. And what do they look like? Where what does the Bible have to say on those? So Dr. Dominic Aquila addresses those on the show as well. So we've just got a good arsenal of stuff we've talked about.
Yeah, maybe we can ask Mont to link to those old shows in the post for this week.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, take a look at the post, and hopefully we will do that. So, Candace, it's great to hear from you. I'm sure this is going to be of much help to Karen and Jessica. So, awesome content. As always, folks, we want to hear from you. Write to us, editor@boundless.org. Please give us your questions so we can answer them here. Really, we want that interaction with you and find out what you're thinking about, what you're praying about, what you're struggling with, and we want to be in that with you. So, and again, everyone, make sure that you catch us for our webcast next week, Thursday at noon Mountain Time, 2 p.m. Eastern. So we want to see you there as well. You'll be seeing us, I guess. So good times, and hopefully we'll get some good response to that as well, and we'll be sure to update you on how all of that goes. So, but we want you to be a part of it, so check it out. And we will talk to you soon. So that is it for this week's show. As always, I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.